coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen.
Well, I'm gonna get your sucker.
Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends, to Huntsville Home Video, the 153rd most popular podcast on Apple iTunes in the film review category.
Yeah! Woo!
Thank you to our Baker's Dozen.
Together we made it! Yeah. We made it even though we had our backs up against the wall.
That might have pushed us to 152.
That was worthy of a point.
Uh-huh.
I grabbed that out of thin air.
Just plucked it.
Saw the opportunity. Saw that low fruit hanging.
Distributed it out to our Baker's Dozen.
Made some jam with that motherfucker.
Apparently you only need 13 people to hit 153 on the Apple iTunes charts in the film review category.
Wow, we're doing pretty good.
We're doing all right.
I'm proud of us.
Just aiming for the middle.
We aim for mediocre.
Yep.
That's where we lie best.
Sailing in a sea of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Welcome to Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. We show movies to Leanne that Leanne has never seen.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about those movies. We get wildly sidetracked from time to time.
Amen.
Yep. And in the end, we make Leanne a better person.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I am still a piece of shit. Not much is going to change there. Not much is going to change at all.
I don't view you as a piece of shit.
Well, you don't because you're on my side.
You're glowing in my eyes, which is the problem.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Someone who makes far more money than us and has way many more degrees could do some character dissection on that and
sure
figure out all your.
But fuck them. We're not going to do that.
Yeah. No.
We know we're in our own filth. Nah. We don't want to.
We
don't want to talk about it.
We're good here. If you're following along in sequential order and you joined us last week, you know that we introduced Leanne to the world of blaxploitation films
mm-hmm.
with Shaft. You loved that one.
Loved Shaft.
And I wanted to introduce you to the comedy version of Shaft, the parody version of the blaxploitation films, a movie which I love and I hold very near and dear to my heart, a movie called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the movie we're going to be chatting about today. So I am very curious about a great many number of things that you thought about this movie, Leanne, but let's start it out with the first question, the opening question. Mm-hmm. What did you think? I love the look on your face right now. What did you think of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka?
Of course I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It was everything I needed. It was a great parody from what I've seen as far as blaxploitation. It was a fucking riot. It was done so well. The whole premise of it was fantastic. We've got Isaac Hayes in it. Like, it's great. The Wayans are in it. Little Chris Rock is in it.
Yep.
Dude, every part about it hit me hard.
All
on
right.
This movie.
That's
I loved
what's up.
It. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Big jam for me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I love when there's a movie that I hold higher than others.
Yeah.
And you really try to hold those cards close to the chest. Because like you won't tell me in advance like whether you liked it, loved it, hated it.
Correct.
And that look on your face was like, I could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to make him think that I actually liked it, but I really secretly hated it. Or vice versa.
It's what I try to do to you.
And you did well.
It's a game that I just like to play, apparently, because I'm a piece of shit.
Yep. We are pieces of shit.
No, I didn't realize how much you held this near and dear to your heart.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that I liked it as well.
Same.
Fantastic
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, yeah. A movie where, you know, I can hear my name.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Fucking Jack Spade's in the movie. And I'm like, is he naming himself after this character? Or did we not, like, what happened here?
Not the only Jack Spade of note.
That's,
because there's a new wrestling TV show.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
No. this one came out this year, actually, with Stephen Amell, the dude that played Arrow. No, never saw that show.
Nah, we're out.
Okay, we're out. Well, his name in that show is Jack Spade.
Wow.
There is also,
it's a fantastic fucking name.
Right?
Like, you realize your name is fantastic.
I'm aware.
Jack Spade. Like, I flare it all the time, I feel like.
You do.
I'm like, Spader, Spade.
Yeah. You can never just say, Jack, what's up?
No.
It's always like, Jack Spade.
It's Jack Spade. I don't think I've ever once called you Jack.
No.
I think it's always been Jack Spade. Uh-huh. They go together.
Yep. It just flows.
Yeah.
Like water. Yeah. There's also a clothing designer named Jack Spade.
No shit.
They have like Jack Spade phone cases and Best Buy. They either used to or still carry them because I just got a flood of text messages one day from people just texting me the Jack Spade phone case display at Best Buy. Like, dude, you're in the phone case game now? And I'm like, yeah, no. No,
heard of Kate Spade phone cases,
right? Yeah.
Not Jack Spade.
Yep, wow. Jack Spade phone cases, wallets,
wow.
Probably some skinny jeans.
You should sue for copyright.
So there was actually there was a Jack Spade storefront. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was in Portland, and I thought about just going in there and just being, you know, like, I'll put this on the company account. Here's my ID. Holy shit. It's the real Jack Spade. I didn't know you lived in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Dum-dums out in Oregon would know no different.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, fuck
them. Dummies.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Out of all of the Jack Spades, how does it feel to be numero uno?
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah.
And it feels pretty great.
I bet it do.
Yeah.
You're number 153, motherfucker.
Yet another in the Jack Spade name category. Mm. So my wife, who I met at a strip club.
Yeah.
She was a waitress.
Yeah.
I was a DJ, as we've talked about before on this podcast.
They fell in love. Haven't you heard? Could I make it any more obvious? I think that's how that song went.
Yeah. It's all about falling in love with a waitress at a strip club. Yeah. I like that you've taken singing choices today. I like the choices that you've made.
Thank you.
I look forward to more.
I hope there's more.
So she was a waitress, and we would bring in porn stars from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And they would usually have a handler, so like an assistant or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife would always go up and she'd be like, hey, I'll be your waitress for the night. Anything you need, just let me know. She's like, you know, my name's Rachel. And the dude introduced himself as Jack Spade. And she's like, shut the fuck up. She's like, my name is Rachel Spade. My husband's name is Jack Spade. And he's like, shut the fuck up. That's fucking wild. Well, just so you know, if you Google me, I'm the straight porn star, not the gay porn star.
That is fucking amazing.
Right?
Can you imagine?
So let's run down the list here. Let's run it down.
Let's do it.
We have got Jack Spade, the I'm gonna get you sucka character. We have got Jack Spade, the wrestling character. We have got Jack Spade, the podcast hoster. Jack Spade, the clothing designer. Jack Spade, the straight porn star.
Not to be confused with
Jack Spade, the gay porn star.
Wow. Lucky number 7, Jack Spades. Good God. Can you imagine having to clarify that for the rest of your life? I'm the straight one.
Are you the radio one or are you the podcast one? Or?
No, silly.
Oh, you're that one. Nicely done.
Thank you. No one can see the wrist, unfortunately.
That
but
silly.
But oh, man. Can you see straight Jack Spade just at the end of the bar drinking like an old sailor, be like, I was the straight one.
Where is that Into the Spider-Verse movie?
Right.
Into the Spader-Verse.
That That's amazing. Wow, so many Jack Spades.
I know.
Damn. Of all different flavors.
Yep. Whew. So with all that Jack Spade nonsense out of the way, shall we get into I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Fuck yeah, we shalls. Let's do it. we start in hot pursuit down the streets, do we not? Yes, we do. The police are making their way down, and it's in any ghetto USA, which is fucking brilliant. And we got a dead body. It's a John Doe, 25 to 30 years old. Cause of death is OG.
Over gold.
He had too many gold chains. And then they uncover the body, and he's just covered in gold chains.
Like, head
fucking
to toe.
Died. Head to toe, gold chains.
A gold hubcap.
A gold hubcap, yes. And I love, and this will be a continuing joke of, how the hell did he go to the bathroom with all this stuff on?
So right then and there, the tone was set for you?
No, as soon as we got to any ghetto USA, I was like, this is fucking it. This is it.
All right.
We're good to go. So we are at this dead body. We have we see this man come up in the crowd, and he kind of like tips his hat to the white lieutenant. Okay,
has a couple gold chains himself. Very dapper suit for being in any ghetto USA.
Absolutely, and not too many gold chains. Probably like your intro amount of gold.
Intro amount.
It seems like so we wrap it up, but not before we start taking pictures of the like crime scene photos of the body, and then they start moving his hands and positioning it, and then they're posing with him, which was fucking fantastic. So then we cut to the graveside funeral, and it's Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon, yes.
R.I.P. the late great.
Yes.
God, that guy's funny.
Yeah. Were you here when he came here?
No.
To the station?
I missed it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very sweet. He was so sweet.
I've been able to interview him over the phone, but I've never actually met him. Super cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't get to interview him. That was a bummer.
He just came in for some pictures.
He came in for an interview, but it wasn't with us.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was on a different station. So, and he was talking about that boy loved gold. His name was Junebug. And then everybody realized, this is Junebug. And everybody gets up and leaves. Nobody cares.
Takes their flowers like a bunch of savages.
They do. They just grab it off the grave like, fuck this Junebug. We're getting the fuck out of here. They were at the wrong funeral.
Yeah.
They the other to guy be at the was 9 at 9 a.m. or yeah. something. Yeah. Poor old Junebug. So he didn't have any friends because he was on that gold. It'll do it to you every time. And I love that, let's see, his mom and Junebug's widow, Cheryl, they're talking about Junebug and not having any friends. And his mom's like, he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that going to be me when I die? If I die before my mother, she'll be like, it was just a piece of shit anyway. Found out she had this podcast, number 153. That bitch.
We're up to 152 now, remember, because you're...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. So they're at the house, and they get a knock on the door, and it is, let's see, Willie and Lenny.
Uh-huh.
Willie and Leonard, right?
Two of the best henchmen that have ever henched.
Fucking fantastic. From the carnations to the way they were, was it Willie, the one who's like the hype man? He's like the little dog,
yep.
You know?
Everything is all hype all the time.
Exactly.
Lenny just tries to like play it cool. I love his gold anchor.
Yes.
He's got a gold anchor chain.
Yes.
Fucking ridiculous.
Fucking rad suit and everything. And just anything that Lenny says, Willie is like, yeah, we're this, you know? And he starts... Like at one point he starts throwing furniture, just getting super hype, you know?
I love when they walk in and they're like, you know, yo, Junebug work for me. I work for Mr. Big. And then everything that he says, dude has to recite.
He has to recite. Like, so, we work for Mr. Big.
So he just like puts like the finger gun like up to his head just to shut him up. Yep. I love that little interaction.
It's so good. Those two together are fantastic. So they are there because, let's see, Junebug died owing Mr. Big $5,000 I think it was $5,000, right? So they know that they don't have the money. Willie and Leonard know that the girls don't have the money. So you know what? We're just going to take Cheryl because she'll be worth more anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oh, no. Goodness. So I love that. So let's see. So they're going to take Cheryl, and then Willie pimp slaps Mama. Fuck this bitch. And Mama teaches him a lesson. Mama knows some shit.
You don't slap Mama Spade.
No, you do not. You do not. So she beats the shit out of Willie. And she comes out of that chair. She was like, don't be acting like a fool in this house. And I'm like, oh, shit. Words that have echoed from every mother. Don't be acting like a fool in this house. And she tells them, you can either go out the window
or take
the stairs. And by God, they fall down the fucking stairs. Just roll down the stairs.
I love I love when Belle starts beating the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Lenny is just like, his reactions are just like,
yeah.
Just amazed that this woman is whooping his ass.
Yeah. And then, watching.
And then he's like, and then Belle is like, clean up this mess. He's like, yeah, pick all that shit up. Fluff up them pillows too.
I forgot about that. Fluff up those pillows. It's fucking great. Oh, man.
Like, I'll say it again, and I fucking stand by it. Two of the best henchmen that have ever henched.
Two of the best that I've seen in my life.
So good.
Sure.
So good.
God.
And they only get better as the movie goes on.
As the movie goes, they progress so well. They get funnier and funnier. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So they take the stairs, they roll down the stairs, and they roll into Jack Spade. I'm like, his name is Jack Spade? What?
Because I didn't tell you going into that his name is Jack Spade.
In fact, it took me a minute because I was like, Spade didn't even register, and then because I didn't think about it, and then all of it, then it was Jack, and I was like, wait, Jack Spade. Oh shit. So he is back from the military. He's been gone for 10 years, apparently. Also, there's some sparks between him and Cheryl.
Uh-huh,
might have been a thing before she and Junebug were a thing. Stay tuned. We'll find out.
Stay tuned.
So he goes. I love that he gets in the house and his mom is like, I kept your room the way you left it 10 years ago. And he opens the door and it's like clothes are everywhere and there's flies buzzing because it's like shit's everywhere. And he's just like throws his shit in and leaves.
Mom ain't going to clean that
shit
up.
Mom didn't clean up shit, right?
Do you have a room at your house, at your parents' house that was your room?
Yes.
Is it still the same?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have like your Slipknot CDs hidden away still?
No, I took all those when I left. No, but it does have my homecoming ribbon in there and a few stuffed animals and things, some pictures. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That room never got really, we moved during college, so that room never got decorated.
Okay.
You know, so it's not like a kid's room or like a teenage room or whatever. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's more of a spare bed, but it's mine because it's a hard mattress and that's my room.
All right. Fair enough.
That's where I stay.
No.
Do not fuck around. That's my bedroom. And it's also closest to the bathroom. I ain't got far to walk.
This is my domain. You fuck off.
I'm also the first bedroom from the back door, so if that's how somebody comes in, I'm the first to get killed. And honestly, that's how I want to go. I'd rather go first. I don't want to discover what's happening to somebody else.
All right, that's fair.
Just get rid of me.
That's fair. I'm out, bro.
So she's left the room the way it was 10 years ago, and at dinner, Jack gets a rundown of what happened to his brother because he wasn't able to make the funeral. And he finds out that when he left for the military, Junebug got in with the bad crowd and he started selling drugs. And then it got really bad when he started wearing gold chains.
Oh, God, oh, no.
No.
Like, his reaction to that cracks me up every fucking time.
Perfect.
Like, it's like the drugs, you know, okay, that's a thing that happens. But then he started fucking with them gold chains. Oh, God, no.
Horror, no.
Not gold chains.
What are you doing to yourself? And every time Junebug would get money, he would get a chain until he was covered with chains. Even his teeth were gold. Oh, God. And Jack reacting to Junebug's photo before he died. And he asks, how'd he go to bathroom with all that on? Fucking fantastic. So Cheryl, the widow, I think she tells Jack here, she thinks that the guys who came to visit Willie and Lenny were the guys who really killed Junebug. That's her assumption. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we get a look at Mr. Big.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And Mr. Big is asking why Willie and Leonard did not bring back the girl. And also, he is sitting there like a Bond villain. What is he, petting a cat? He's petting something.
He's petting a Blofeld. Gold bar.
Oh, it was a gold bar. Yeah. I missed it. I couldn't tell.
He was petting a gold bar.
I was like, that's not an animal, but I think I was too far from the TV and I didn't have my glasses on. I'm yeah. sorry.
No, he was, no, Mr. Big.
And I thought
just,
it was going to come back on screen again, and then it didn't.
No. Just like, you know, that like there. And, you know, that actor, John Vernon, mm-hmm. he was, you know, you never saw Animal House, did you?
No.
No. Oh, he was the dean in that one. But he's like very, you know, kind of a bigger, you know, well-known actor.
I feel like I've seen him. I feel like I would notice him in other things.
Yep.
You know, yeah. But I couldn't pinpoint his name or where he had been in.
And and that's a joke that actually plays off later in the movie that we'll talk about. But mm-hmm. like, yeah, he shows up. And like you said.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know which one we're talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like you said, like a Bond villain. But yeah, he's just petting a gold bar.
It's a gold bar.
Just I love
gold. I
also
love that I couldn't see that. Couldn't tell what it was. So he's asking Willie and Lenny why they didn't bring the girl back, and they recount the fight to be a lot different than what happened. They did not.
And then dude showed up. You know, dude. Yeah. Which dude showed up? The Soldier Boy. Soldier Boy. Soldier Boy. Yeah, Soldier Boy.
And he shot me. He got shot. Me.
He clapped me from the back, right. And I was out cold like this here, right?
Much more dramatic than the mama beat my ass and threw me down the stairs.
Uh-huh. And I don't, you probably didn't notice this either, but this was a fun little detail that I also loved. Willie's matchstick that he's always chewing on was now crooked.
I missed it.
He still had the same matchstick in his mouth, but it had like a little crink in it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's so funny.
The one thing I did notice was the big ass fucking cigars that were on the desk. And I don't know if that was just perception thing or if they were just astronomically huge.
Everything's big.
Everything's
when
big
you're Mr. Big.
He's Mr. Big. So Mr. Big says, look, Junebug owed me this money. He worked for you or however the chain goes. Basically, you owe me the money. Mm-hmm. You owe the debt. You have to pay off the debt. And I love that Willie calls him Uncle Mr. Big.
Uncle
that
Mr.
fucking
Big.
Tickled me to the core. That got me. And he asks Mr. Big, what about the mother? And Mr. Big says, if he gets in the way, kill him. I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like Shaft, like uh-huh. how he called everybody mother. Okay. So then the options are, you can go out the window, or you can go out the stairs. And they just roll down the stairs once again. Oh, gosh. So then we go back to Jack and his mom. They are reminiscing. Jack finds a picture of her and John Slade. Slade's a good last name, mm-hmm. too. John Slade. They were together back in the day, but he was too busy being a crime fighter, you know? So now Jack is going to take it upon himself to figure out what happened to Junebug, and he's going to get the people who are responsible. So he goes to the streets. Them screets. And John Slade, what is he, hosting a youth gang competition?
Yes. Dude.
And oh, dude, God. I didn't even register until they fire off the pistol. First of all, the cop fires off the pistol,
like
and
the
then
start-
he aims the gun at them, and these dudes take off carrying TVs, being chased by dogs. In the gang competition. And then they have to like strip a car in record time, which is fucking fantastic.
Yeah. All of these set to, you know, like you would have like a youth competition.
Yeah, it's like the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's like little Olympics that
it's
they're
like
doing.
Track and field yeah. for the hood.
They walk away from that fucking car and like only the steering wheel and the fucking seats left. It's so great.
And there's an actual referee timing
yes!
it.
A new record.
It's a new record.
When that cop shoots the pistol though and just aims it at those motherfuckers. I was like, God, that's fucking brilliant.
It's like some of these things age better than others.
Right.
Some things just make you go, ugh.
But
ooh.
Still laugh.
Ah,
look, I'm still laughing. I don't give a fuck. That's my white privilege card. I don't give a fuck.
Back down to 153.
Probably 154. God. So then we find out that Mr. Slade, the crime fighter back in the day, got rid of Mr. Big. But unfortunately, he's retired now and Mr. Big has come back. He's grown again. He's now big deal in the streets again.
Uh-huh. And obviously John Slade, basically the John Shaft
yes.
of this movie.
Uh-huh.
I love when he's explaining that he went away because the people thought he was too violent. and that's why he was retired.
Uh-huh.
That just struck me as super duper funny because that's kind of like how things have gone.
Right. Exactly.
Like you can't have this anymore. It's too violent.
It's too whatever. You can't have it. We're taking you away.
Yeah.
We're going to strip all the good away and we're just going to take it away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can't have these movies. You can't have these violent video games. You can't listen to the rap music.
Right.
You can't listen to the metal music because you'll burn people alive. Because, ooh, that black metal.
Ooh,
ooh,
damn. Ooh, Satan.
Shaking fist at sky.
Satan's coming after us. It's the devil.
Hey, what about all that child molestation happening in churches? No.
One thing at a time, boy.
We need more church and schools. That's why we're having this problem.
I also love that your thing for a politician is the, what was that, Clinton?
Yeah.
Who the fuck was that? With the yeah. fist and the
with
thumb
the fist
on
and the thumb out? Yeah. put a label on the music CDs.
I'm gonna go fuck my secretary, whatever the intern, whatever the fuck she was. Don't listen to Slayer.
Don't listen to Slayer, but I'm gonna.
Anybody got a cigar? I wanna shove it up this woman.
Yeah. Morality. But John Slade can't kill criminals anymore.
Right.
Get him off the streets.
Fucking A, God. Damn, fuck this world. Shit.
Yup.
Ugh. So, Jack ends up finding Mr. Slade. And he asks, first of all, we got to talk about the reporter.
Okay, that's right.
What was his name? Skip Allen?
Yep.
He's a black guy, but his name is Skip Allen, and he's the most white
yeah.
motherfucker. He grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah, he asked John about the youth gang competition. He's like, yeah, it gives him a chance to blow off steam in a positive environment. You know what I mean, right, brother?
No. Nope.
Actually, I don't. I grew up in the suburbs. My mom was a doctor. My dad was a lawyer, and all my friends were white.
And it shows.
I didn't even know how to dance. Like, the only move I had was like that Springsteen move from the Dancing in the Dark video. I love Springsteen.
I love Springsteen. The most white thing you could say.
Yeah, that is definitely on
it's
the top
there.
Three list.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like I think after I love Springsteen, I think the only white thing you could say is like, ah, that mayo's a little spicy.
Yeah.
That's it. Chipotle mayo. Oof. No, too much for me.
Mm, goodness. So Jack finds Slade. Oh, and he brings that photo of Slade and his mom, you know, to use. And he asks if that woman looks familiar. And Slade's like, yeah, we used to call her hot chocolate. And then he starts like with every other trope, you know, like,
oh, she could do this thing with her mouth. That's my mother. She was a good woman.
She was a good woman.
Your mother was a good woman.
Oh, man. And then he shows Slade a picture of his brother Junebug. And again, how the hell did he go to the bathroom with that shit on? Oh, God. So Jack wants Slade to take down Mr. Big once again and clean out this gold shit, which I put here. This is fucking hilarious. This gold shit's hilarious to me. But Mr. Slade's not going to do it. So Jack is disappointed. He leaves and he stops. He stops at the Black Revolutionary headquarters.
Quite possibly, this is my favorite scene in the movie.
Understandable. Brothers united against the man. And he goes in, and of course, it's like down with Whitey on the wall and shit. And he starts talking to Kalinga, I think was his name. And Also, what is it with the beans? What is this? Is this like a street thing I don't understand? Is it just because it's poor? I don't know. But it's like everything is beans, and Jack asks for a soda, and Kalinka gets him a bean soda. Oh, God. It's so terrible. So he's there because he wants help with what's happening to the community, but Kalinka can't help. He and his army. He and his army of men. We're going to take over the government building that was put in the community. But that day it was hiring day, so all of them got jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns. They came out with jobs.
They started working for Whitey.
Whitey is something else. Like, if that wasn't a holy shit, they did this before Occupy Wall Street was a thing.
For fuck's sakes. So then... his girl comes out from another room, and it's a Whitey with braids. It's like typical white woman trying to save the world, right?
Like, yeah, has the white woman with the braids and then just
the
like
attire,
all
yep. like an all for yeah.
Fun side note, and I thought this was super super amusing that they did this. So like in a second, like when the kids come out, mm-hmm. you can hear the Brady Bunch theme playing.
Oh yeah.
So that actress is Eve Plum, who played Jan on the Brady Bunch.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She just comes out from behind the beaded curtain. She's like, "What can I get my Nubian warrior?"
Yes. Fucking A.
Were you more dead than you are right now? Because you're like losing your shit.
It was so fucking funny to me. Because it's like, and also, what year was this made? 88. And it's like, it's still the same shit today.
Yeah.
So she comes out, and then she's got the two kids, one of them being Lex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ariana Richards.
Yeah.
Her very first movie role ever.
That's amazing. I was like, is that her?
Yeah.
Yep, that was her. And the kids are reciting a report about the swine, Abraham Lincoln.
Daddy, can we watch TV?
Yeah, Daddy. These lily white motherfuckers.
Before you watch TV, I want to hear your report.
Yes.
Okay. Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin in Illinois. This poor white trash manipulated the freedom of the black man for his own political career. Until another piece of poor white trash shot him in the head. The end. Thank you, Jesus.
Fucking top marks in this scene.
Did you have to rewind that to watch it again?
Yes.
Because holy fuck is that?
That whole thing was amazing.
So keep in mind, I have been watching this movie since 1988.
Of course.
And that scene cracks me up every fucking time. If I go a couple years without seeing it, as soon as that kid walks out and I know it's coming, and then there's his sister like cheering him on. She's like, "Woo, preach, brother."
And the mom, oh God. That is one of the most perfect scenes I've ever seen. Like, truly, it's just comedic gold.
I so very desperately wanted, going through like high school and stuff, I wanted to be able to do a report on Abraham Lincoln just so I could put in the phrase, until another piece of poor white trash shot him in the head. The end. And I never got to do it.
God almighty. Dude, I will try to influence a child to do that. Do I have a cousin that could make a report? I don't even have a cousin.
Man.
I got nobody. man. Damn, that was so fucking good. So through all of that, we have no luck getting ourselves some men and an army to fix up the town. So Jack, then he goes to the diner where Cheryl works, and then, oh shit, two men come in. They're looking for Jack, who's been asking a lot of questions around town about Mr. Big. Word gets out in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack goes to stand up to these guys, but that's when Ma comes in. Mom comes in to save the day because nobody messing with my baby. It's fucking great. And so then an obvious stunt double comes in and does like these two big flips, right? And then it cuts to her like it was her the whole time. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't see the face on the stunt double over the flips, you know? And then right before she punches the two men, it's just an obvious man with a mustache in her clothes yeah. who just starts fighting with these.
Which for exploitation movies, for like those lower budget movies like that, uh-huh. that was commonplace.
Right.
Like when you go back and start watching more of those, you can totally tell.
You can totally. It's not spliced together well. Uh-uh. No. So this mustached man in mama's clothes knocks the shit out of these motherfuckers and saves the day. Jack doesn't like that very much. He doesn't need her to fight for him anymore. He's been in the military. So they have a big argument, and she says, I will never do it again. So while this happens, Slade comes to their apartment. They're back at their apartment now. And she says, they're talking about what happened to her son, and she says, Slade, I need you. And he goes, I've been pretty horny myself. I'm like, fucking hot chocolate, man. Uh-huh. Hot chocolate stuck with him.
He doesn't have the swagger of a John Shaft,
no.
but that line was pretty just...
No.
Yeah.
He's commanding with that line.
I'm here to start laying some pipe.
Yep. So Jack is mad. He's going out with a gun. He's going to go to war. And Slade tries to talk him down. And Jack's like, I'm trained for combat, but... We're outside now. We're walking down the street.
Before we get there, though, when he's showing Cheryl that he has the gun and he starts going off about all the people that picked on him and when he was little.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about like little Lori Ephraim or whatever, yeah. who like took his money. And then the Evans family of midgets.
Mm-hmm. He's called him a gang. And I think she was like, they're a family. And he was like, you got that many midgets together. It's
a gang.
Yes, I forgot to mention that because they come back up later. You get that many of them together, it's a gang. It's a fucking gang of midgets, right? Yes. So he has that blow up. Slade's trying to talk him down. They end up outside and he's like, I'm trained for combat. About that time, from across the street on the roof, we get machine gun fire at them. And Slade ducks, he moves, and Jack... just runs in circles like they shoot.
Oh, shit.
They shoot.
They
shoot. Somebody's shooting. They shooting. And the way he runs around panicking with his hands is
like,
so good.
It's a prance. It's
a
like
prance.
A little prance.
It is a prance. And Slade's like, get down. What the fuck are you doing? He's like, they shooting.
I
so fucking
thought
great.
You were trained for combat. I was, but I've never been in
I've
it.
I've never been in it.
Well, what the fuck are all these medals for on your jacket?
One was like for surfing.
This one's for shorthand. This one's for typing. This one's for surfing.
He was a secretary in the military. Because he does. He has this jacket that is just fucking full. He's like a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout. It's just full of patches and medals and badges. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, homeboy's a war hero.
Right. No.
Oh, no, he's a little bitch.
He's surfed.
Yeah.
So, shit. So, let's see. Also, when this happened, there was a couple on, like, the stoop, like, right outside of the door there on the street. And the guy was shot and died. And he asked, he was like, is he dead? And she goes, of course he is. Can't you hear the music? Because there's this sad music playing. So Slade uses him as like a human shield. Like, oh, he won't mind. And uses him as a human shield to get across the street. And it's Willie and Leonard. And I love when Jack and Slade get up there, when every time they shoot, they start to shriek like, ah!
And I like how Willie is just wearing a ski mask, but he's still got the suit and his
yeah.
hat.
Again, they get funnier every time. Uh-huh. They really do. So they get caught by Jack and Slade, and apparently Mr. Big gave them orders to kill Jack because he's been asking questions. And so, in typical Shaft fashion, he tells them to tell Mr. Big that Slade is back and he's got 24 hours to get out of town. Now, You can either take the window or take off the roof, or you can take the stairs.
We
always take the stairs. So they take the stairs down the building. Oh, God, it's so good. So the next step is for Jack and Slade to go see One-Eyed Sam. Okay, I didn't mention it earlier, but here's another running gag in the show. Every time that someone introduces themselves, or like Jack introduces himself to Slade, or when Willie and Lenny go to Junebug's mom's apartment, everybody asks, like, are you selling, No Way products? And so that becomes a running gag throughout. So it's like when they go to the bar to ask about One-Eyed Sam, the bartender's like, you selling No Way products?
You selling No Way products, are you?
So I forgot. That was a running gag. So they call and they wait for Sam. And they're enjoying a drink, and the show from the talent on stage, who we all know is the talentless person who somehow knows the owner or related to the owner, and therefore they get their own time slot.
Uh-huh.
We know all about that shit.
It's There's even a line like this. It's like a classy, you know,
like a cocktail bar.
Yeah. She's up there singing when the saints go marching in, and just gets so dramatic with it.
Just starts
over the top, and Slade is like, who the hell is that? And the waiter's like, oh, that's the director's sister.
Yeah.
cut to Keenan Ivory Wayans going, nice little fun meta in joke.
That's right. I didn't even get
it. Oh, shit. You didn't even
put it together.
Oh, God damn it.
I was like, director, is that what they call him at a club? And then totally bypassed
it.
The director of the movie. That was
Keenan.
The wall.
That was Keenan Ivory Wayans' sister.
What a dumb fuck. That totally went over my head. I was just thinking, the director of the club.
Oh, shit. You silly white.
Wow, you silly goose. Yeah, I totally missed that. I was like, why did they call him a director? Is that because it's a club? And then just didn't think about it anymore.
Why I'm here to help.
Thanks, Jack.
Hey, no problem.
Now that's even funnier. So, man. So we're enjoying a drink and
a whiskey double and a Pepsi double.
And we get a lesson from Slade about the difference between being loved and being laid.
Yep.
Because Jack probably hadn't been laid in a while, we can gather. So we see this girl from across the bar, Cherry. She's made for being laid, right? And she comes over to the table looking for Mr. White. And 12 fucking inches.
Yeah, she wants 12 inches.
She wants 12 inches. Jack says he got it. I don't think he does.
Nah. Okay, I'll give you what you need, I guess.
So he reluctantly leaves with her, and he finally has to confess to her that he doesn't have 12 inches. But that's okay, because she is probably faking a little bit as well.
Yeah, she has some confessions of her own to make.
She takes off her wig. And is totally bald. She looks like Jim Carrey's character in Living Color. What was it? The fire commissioner or whatever?
Yeah. No,
she takes that off. She has no tits. She has no, like the boobs, the fake boobs that she tears off is like the wrong color. It's like white.
Yeah.
She has a fake leg. She starts taking all of her parts off. She's like, oh, this feels so much better to just be who I am. And so he leaves.
Starts literally hopping after him.
And she goes, don't make me hop after you. And she hops. Which I thought was brilliant. So luckily, our boy leaves. Our boy gets out of there alive. He gets away from the one-legged monster and then gets back to the table where One-Eyed Sam shows up. And I think it's Slade who says, we have got to score tonight. So let's see. Oh, and I love the interaction between Sam and Jack where they both, like, he starts questioning about the medals that's on his jacket. And it turns out that Sam was also a secretary in the military, and he's got a medal for surfing too.
He comes in and like One-Eyed Sam just looks like this grizzled Billy badass, like just, you know, and he's staring Jack down. And he was just like, he's like, what do you do in the military? And he was just like, I was intermilitary personnel. He's like, I'll be damned. A secretary. I was a secretary myself. Oh, shit. He's like, well, dude, how did you lose your eye? Ah, we were in the office of Jackass,
that's right,
flipping paper clips. One of them caught me in the damn eye. Sam, what the fuck? You said you were in Vietnam. He's like, I was in Saigon.
Fucking brilliant. Again, once again. Yeah, and then they go over their medals. So they get guns from Sam, which are decrepit, but luckily Jack knows how to clean a gun. We're okay. So now Slade is going to get them an army to take over Mr. Big, right? So Jack returns home with his guns. He and Cheryl have a little bit of a moment after she cleans up his room, which was very nice. And she was like, you know, why didn't you write me? And he's like, I wanted to prove I could be a man and protect you. And I never got to go to war to protect you or whatever. And so she's like, no, you don't have to prove anything to me because I love you, blah, 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 blah. And then they reminisce about going down to the disco back in the day.
Yeah.
And every time they dance, they knock somebody out. Like they're doing, like they're dancing and it's just hitting the whole entire crowd until they knock everybody out in the disco, which was fucking brilliant. So then they kiss and something happens. So then the next day, we are one of my favorites from this movie, Hammer and Slammer's Barbecue.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. So
easily my, like if it's not, if it's not tied for first, then it's second.
It's a close second. I agree. So I'm totally on point with you. And the tagline is our meat is tougher than we are, which is fucking great. And it's Isaac Hayes. He's Hammer. And then we get an unnamed character coming in. It's Chris Rock, a very young Chris Rock, who wants, he's asking,
how much for an order of ribs?
And he tells him, and
$2.50.
It's
$2.50?
How many ribs
do I get with that? About five. Five. So I guess that's about 50 cents a rib, huh? Yeah, about. All right, let me get one. Right on. One order. One order ribs coming up. No. One rib. I sure am hungry.
And then he asks for a he asks for a sip of soda for 15 cents.
My cups cost more than 15 cents.
Fuck the cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime. I swear to God, I want to use that line so bad. Fuck the cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime. Son of a bitch. God. And then, when like Isaac Hayes gets so fed up with this guy, and so he goes to pay for his rib, and he goes, do you have change for 100?
He pulls out like a fucking wad. Like the whole time, the whole interaction, he's like counting. You can see him counting change in his hand. And then he just pulls out his stack of hundreds.
I was like, this has hit me so hard. I paused because I was like, I'm dead. I am fucking dead. It hit me. Fuck the cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime. Jesus Christ. It was so good. He's on screen for what? Like not even a couple minutes? And it's fucking hilarious.
So good.
God almighty. So that was fantastic. Chris Rock runs out. Slade comes in and asks if they want to take out Mr. Big again. And I think it was Slammer who was like, I ain't killed anybody in a while.
Killed anyone in a minute.
So they've been recruited. We got Hammer and Slammer. Then Slade goes to prison to recruit Fly Guy.
Yeah. Motherfucking Huggy Bear. Love this dude.
He was in the running for Pimp of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And he won, didn't he? And then
he did, yeah.
And then Mr. Big took him out, like got him into prison or something,
yeah.
Wasn't it? They reminisce about, they go to flashback of like him competing for Pimp of the Year, and for his talent, he reads a poem. He was like, bitch, better have my money.
Not some.
Not some.
Not part.
Right.
But all my cash.
So he's taken down after that by Mr. Big, and let's see. So he gets recruited to be an informant or to be a part of this army that we're building, right? So then we cut to Hammer and Slammer. They are on their way into the city. Also, is there ever a movie of just Hammer and Slammer? Because I would watch that fucking movie.
So funny you ask. We never got a sequel to I'm Gonna Get You Sucka, but there was a pilot for a Hammer, Slammer, and Slade TV show. It was filmed. The show was ultimately never picked up, though.
Oh.
But how awesome would that have
Dude,
been?
Dude, that would have been amazing. Because that whole time of them just in the car in that short minute when they're driving into the city and the guys try to clean off the, you know, whatever. But their interaction, I was like, I want Hammer and Slammer so bad.
So this scene is probably more important than you realize because you have told me that I do something in conversation that you are a big fan of. Like when I'm telling a story, if it involves another person, I'm like, hey man. Like when I say that, you just like that. So I got that from Isaac Hayes when he's just like, he's sitting there singing and he's like, I can dig it, he can dig it, we can dig it. Dig it. And then Slammer tells him, you know, like shut up or whatever. And he's like, say man, if you don't like the sound of my melodious voice, that's where that came from.
That makes me love it even more because I don't know if I've ever talked about it here. Maybe we've talked about it, but Jack does do this thing where he's like, when he's telling a story, he's like, and I told this guy, hey man, it's always, hey man. And it's the way you say it. It cuts into my psyche every time. It's like, hey man.
Like legitimately don't even think about it when
no,
I do it.
I just
say it. And like you pointed that out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, when did I start doing that? And I was just like, Say man. Oh shit, say it's from man. Isaac Hayes and I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Well, we've already said that Jack is just a culmination of pop culture references.
Yeah.
And that is one of them. That's great. I love it even more now because I love those two together. And now I know that's where that came from. Fucking great. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. And not a goddamn.
Goddamn thing.
Two favorite Jack Spade phrases. Shit. Oh, that's amazing. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch the same, because it says say man, so I didn't catch it.
And well, clearly, as we've made it this far in the podcast, upon your glowing review thus far, I take you'll be watching this again?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're good. I'll catch it.
All right.
So let's see. Meanwhile, Slade and, well, I thought it was Slade and his guys were getting ready. He's all dressed in black, like Shaft was at the end of Shaft. And then he starts walking down and the Shaft theme music starts playing. And then you see that the guys following him is a band. It's like some white dude and a keyboard. And then they've got all the instruments following behind. I'm fucking dead.
Got his theme music playing in concert behind him.
In concert behind him, just following along. It's so damn good. And then, so Slade's walking down the street. He's got his theme song. Then we get Fly Guy coming out back on the streets.
Oh, boy.
And he's got on this yellow outfit with this biggest hat and zebra print and shit. And his shoes, I'm like, what the fuck is in his shoes? His shoes were aquariums. The bottom of them were aquariums. There's fish in his shoes. And it's so amazing.
His outfit looks like if the man in the yellow hat from Curious George was dressed by Liberace.
That is the best.
Yeah.
That is the best description of Fly Guy right now. And the way he's creeping down the steps and coming onto the street and walking is fucking fantastic. And then, you know, you think it's all great. You think it's fucking Fly Guy. And then people start making fun of him on the street.
Uh-huh.
And then one was like, brother, you get nosebleeds up there? And somebody else was like, is that fish in his shoes? He's like, is that his dinner? When that bitch asked, maybe that's his dinner, I lost it. I was like, oh my God, that's great. Then the glass breaks. Those are not sturdy enough shoes. And there's water and it's a mess, right? Oh, shit. So poor Fly Guy. He's had a little wardrobe malfunction.
Like odd limping away because like one foot is so much higher. And he's just trying to get away from this mob that's making fun of him.
Maybe that's his dinner. Oh, shit. So Slade then hooks up with Jack, who has the guns, and they're all clean and ready to go. And then the theme music follows. And Jack's like, what's that? And Slade's like, every good hero needs theme music. It's fantastic. So they get to a warehouse where they're waiting on Kung Fu Joe, who's going to be
Yeah.
And Isaac Hayes, he asks if Jack's ever killed before, like, slit a man from ass to appetite. I'm like, fuck, that's great.
You're splattered a man's brains up against a wall.
So good. Oh,
and
gosh.
Then I love when Slammer's like, well, what makes you think you can be an action hero? And Jack thinks about it for a beat, and he was like, I'm an ex-football player.
And Slammer's face, like,
Yeah, okay. Jim Brown, former football player, and even do the played Slade, former NFL player.
Fantastic.
That was like, that was a big thing in the, you know, when they were making all these blaxploitation films. It's like, let's just get football players in here.
Right. That's amazing. So Slammer doesn't have a rebuttal. In comes Kung Fu Joe, who is not Asian.
which and this is up until this point in the movie, the only blaxploitation trope that we have missed, the martial artist.
Okay.
There are a lot of like Kung Fu blaxploitation flicks. Jim Kelly starred in a couple of them. He was in Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee movie, and then they kind of gave him his own flicks. Mm. And it's like, you know, because like, you know, brother's got to know some Kung Fu too.
Right.
And now we got Kung Fu Joe.
Is this how Wu-Tang Clan came together?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So Kung Fu Joe comes in. Also, there's some, I don't know if it's here or if it's later on where he's talking about his mentor.
It's like coming up. Yeah, okay. It's in this scene.
Okay. So here's the plan. What we're going to do is we're going to disrupt Big's businesses, harass all his people, and then so that'll drive Mr. Big out, right?
And then this is where Kung Fu Joe goes, Mr. Big killed my teacher! And then he starts wailing away on the heavy bag, and he pulls out this medallion with a portrait of Bruce Lee, and he's like, teacher! And Jack is like, oh my God, Master Lee was your Kung Fu teacher? He's like, no, acting.
Fucking great. This movie is top marks. So our first stop after that is the Big Brim Bar. And it is exactly what you would think, where all the hats have big ass fucking brims. It is ridiculous.
And they get stopped at the door. Sorry, man, you got to have a big hat to get in here.
Yeah. So they get in and they start shooting up some shit and they take all their gold. They're like getting the gold and wrapping it up, like getting rid of it. And then all is going well until...
Were you ready for this?
No.
Were you prepared for this?
I was not ready for this to come back. Jack sees the midgets who beat him up as a kid.
In the hats.
In the hats.
Like, one of the hats, like, a little piece of it gets pulled... Like, a huge, humongous hat, large enough to fit a small person on this dude's head. The little sash across the top pulls down and a hand holding a gun pokes out and starts just, like, sweeping the room. And then Slammer shoots the hat and a midget falls out. And then all these midgets start coming out of hats.
It's a fucking gang.
Wayne Evans. The Evans family. And Jack just tackles him. He's like, I want my nickel back. And they have to break him up.
They have to break him up.
And then he's like, man, from the waist down, you mine.
Holy fuck. God almighty. Damn it. I was not ready for it. I was not ready for that to come back. And it did so well. Oh, shit. So they finally get it broke apart. And then they, I want my nickel back. God damn it. So then they finally leave and they start hitting other places. One looks like a brothel. We're carrying the women out, getting all that shit together. Then we cut to Cheryl, who has to leave work because she's got cramps. leaving the rest of us women who don't complain to do all of your work, bitch.
Right. You're ruining it for the rest of us.
You're ruining it for the rest of our ovaries. So she leaves work because she's hurting. She's not feeling well. And she is followed by a man. We just, you know, we get that quintessential shot of the girl walking down the dark street, and then we see the following, the guy following, and he's got like a cast around his leg, not around his foot, but just around his leg between the ankle and the knee. And he's got his nice shoes on and he's got a cane. And so they keep going and we find out it's Lenny. Too many stairs, man. Yeah.
You fall down them stairs, man. You're going to get hurt.
And says, you're coming with me. But she turns around and it's like the Thriller video. Like her eyes are glowing. And he's like, you got the devil in you. And she's like, no, cramps. And I'm like, that is what it's like sometimes.
Got the devil in you.
Oh, gosh. So anyways, luckily, let's see. Willie saves the day.
Clubs her over the back of the head.
Clubs her over the back of the head with his arm cast because he said, I heard you screaming. And he's like,
I wasn't screaming.
No,
I was whistling.
I was whistling.
No, you were like, ah! I was like, no, I was.
You're whistling to come get this bitch? Yeah. So they get her in the car. Meanwhile, where were they at where Isaac Hayes is like blowing shit up, like we're blowing up a building or whatever?
Yeah, they were just like hitting more Big's businesses.
Yes,
they just like drove by
through.
They blew up a jewelry shop,
right? That's right. So Mr. Big is now distraught and he calls the lieutenant from the beginning of the movie and tells him to find the bastards, right? So later we get this moment where Kung Fu Joe is by himself and he gets pulled over by the cops. And I love, they get him out of the car and he leaves the car door open and the car keeps dinging. It's like, shut the door, shut the door. And it's kind of like,
your door is ajar.
It's like, close the door, you dickhead. And
did you ever have like an old ass car that did that? That like when your door was open, it literally said your door was ajar?
Yes.
God, that was obnoxious.
And they were the heaviest fucking doors too.
Right?
Remember car doors back in the day, how heavy they were?
Yeah.
It was like pushing a brick wall. Is that not insane?
But
yes, I remember them digging and saying, your door's a drawer. Yep.
I said, close the door,
dickhead. So they try to arrest him, but he's kung fu fighting and he takes care of the cops. And then a lot more show up and he's like, oh, so it's just me versus 57 cops. And then they just start shooting his ass.
Just you 57 punks against Kung Fu Joe, master of karate, jiu-jitsu, and all other shit you ain't never heard of.
I'll just go to town.
Again, too real. Too real.
Too real. Oh, God. So then I think Hammer and Slammer are in like they're somewhere and they start having a shootout. What are they in a parking?
They're in a parking garage.
Parking garage. And they start having a shootout. And I love Hammer, Isaac Hayes, and the one guy, like they've split up. So he is one on one with this other guy. And they both don't know karate. So they're like, ah, let's just fake it. And so they start fake karate fighting with each other.
Throwing these horrible kicks and punches.
Not even touching each other, which is fucking great. Slammer gets Willie. And let's see. He says, Slammer says it's a big deal because it's Big's nephew. We find out that Willie is Big's nephew. And I put, the colors don't match up here, but whatever. I don't care.
I also love during this shootout, you know, Hammer and Slammer, they have like six shooter revolvers and they shoot like 87 shots without reloading.
Of course.
And Willie calls him out. He's like, man, this is bullshit. You have a six shooter revolver. You load it 87 times. You didn't even reload. That's bullshit. He's like, and then Slammer's just like, yeah, fuck it.
Like no explanation. Yeah. You don't need one. Oh, then we see, thank God, Kung Fu Joe made it through. We find him all ragged and he's coming down the street and he makes a call to Slade and to warn him that, oh, there's an ambush. Like the ambush is on. Mr. Big is sending out his people to get us. And you think that Slade answered and is listening, but no, it's his voicemail. It's his answering machine. And it made me think of Archer, like elaborate voicemail hoax.
You ever done that on a voicemail?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Everyone does. Everyone has at some point.
Oh.
I had one at one point.
You did?
But yeah, not anymore, though.
No, I haven't. I haven't ventured into that territory. I feel like I'm too old for it now.
And at this point, who leaves messages anymore?
True.
Other than like, you know, robocalls right. or whatever.
I don't think calling I've, about your car's warranty.
Yeah, that's what text messages are for.
True.
Yeah. And it doesn't have the same ring to it when you text someone. You're like, hey, Jack. And I respond, yeah, what's up? And then you respond something else. And then I just respond, just kidding. This is an automated text reply. Doesn't work like
it
that.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
You've just said you're a dick.
Yep. Also, if you are leaving a voicemail, a fake out voicemail.
True.
Also a dick.
I worry if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
You know, then we've wasted this amount of time on an emergency.
Right.
Somebody's dying. Mm-hmm. Possibly. Because I go to worst case scenario.
As you should.
As I should.
Every time.
So our boys, we regroup now. And we're regrouping and we got to find Cheryl. Luckily, we have Willie, the nephew, as a hostage. And Willie knows where they're keeping her.
I ain't telling you shit.
Oh, but he does. So we are going to go find her. So we suit up. We are going to war. And we are packing grenades and guns. And Hammer is fucking strapped, son. He takes every damn gun. He's like putting one on the sides. He's got one in his back, like in his pants. He's
one
got
in both
grenades.
Ankles.
One in both ankles. Like he is literally strapped head to toe. And he's like, you can never have enough, brother.
Yeah. Two shotguns on top of all of that.
What's going on? And he's got his two shotguns, right? So Isaac Hayes is fucking strapped. And they go.
I like that Slade packs a ham sandwich.
Yes. I forgot to put, yes. And that's right. I was like, why did I put Sammy's here? It's because of the sandwich.
Yeah, he puts like a bomb, a couple grenades, a ham sandwich.
He's got wrapped up. So they get everything packed, Hammer strapped, and they go and they walk out of this building. And as soon as he's following Jack, who's got the, you know, the long like line of shells, right? And while Hammer is walking, he slips on a shell like a banana peel. This is one of the funniest things in this movie. He slips and he falls flat on his back. And as soon as he falls, all of the guns start firing that he had on his person. And he's just like, what seemed like for an hour, guns just start firing.
It was a solid 30 seconds. Like, it would have been funny if they all just went bang, 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 bang. And they all went off at right. once. But no, he's just like twitching and squirming for like 30 seconds.
Squirming and jumping and reacting to guns that are going off.
And like three times they cut to his face and he's like, oh, pop, 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 ah, ah, ah.
It's so good. So fucking funny. I was dead. Another pause moment because I was like, I'm fucking out, dude. Oh, shit. So they move on and they go to like, what are they keeping her? Like this warehouse or something?
It's always a warehouse.
It's always a warehouse.
Always a warehouse.
So Slade has the plan. Slade is going to rappel down and go through a window with a bomb for a diversion. Kind of like
Shaft.
Then at the base of the warehouse, Jack is going to go through the window and Slammer is going to go through the door. And Slammer's like, I never get to go through the window anymore.
You go through the fucking window.
You go through
the
fucking window. So we get everybody into position. And Slade goes through the window up top, right, where they're keeping Cheryl. Or no, that's not right.
No, he starts to rappel down.
He starts to rappel down, right? And he starts to rappel down, and let's see. Everybody gets to their positions. Shaft starts playing. That's right, sorry. Slade is on the rope, right? And he gets his bomb lit, and he rappels down to the window, and he's like he's swinging down, and he gets ready to swing into the window, and then all of it, you're watching it from inside. You're seeing Cheryl, who's there with Lenny, and then just outside the window, you just see and hear this explosion. He did not have enough wick on that bomb.
And then Lenny's reaction is just like, you farted?
Oh, God, so good. I am laughing so fucking hard. Shit, when that bomb goes off right outside that window, just doesn't break through the window, nothing. It was just like, oh, man.
And then it just cuts to the smoldering rope.
Right. Just hanging. Oh, man. So then we go down to the base of the warehouse, the ground floor, and this fucking murdered me because it's so goofy. So Jack is going to go through the door and Slammer's going to go through the window. And I'm not even paying attention until they go through and the door and the window are right next to each other. And Jack just knocks down the door. And then here comes Slammer just full on through the window. It's like, they were right. What did we do? Why did we have to do it this way? They're right next to each other.
Right.
This is so stupid. Oh, made me laugh so hard. So then we get a gunfight that ensues in this warehouse or whatever we're in. And they keep saying, like, it's Soldier Boy, which I'm like, is this where Soldier Boy got his name? Like, who knows? So poor Slammer, he gets shot in that nasty ass bunion that he's got that he's been complaining Ooh. About on his feet. So he gets shot. And now only Jack is really left, who's like uninjured and everything. So he's not by himself for long because Mama shows up because nobody's hurting her baby.
Yeah, you get like a big like a shotgun blast and you see like a door gets blown open. You see this light and you're thinking, oh, he's like Slade. And then just the record scratch, and there's Mom.
It's Mom.
In her, like, you know, Sunday dress, like cooking dress, with a shotgun.
A badass bitch. So she's trying to get Jack out of there so that he doesn't get hurt. But he's like, no, I'm going to follow this thing through. So he actually locks her up in a room in this warehouse. And he's not leaving until he finds Cheryl. So Jack starts shooting and shit, and I love, it's like a war movie, right? He's shooting, and then he goes back and he hides, and he's like, ah, and he has to take care of, like, a splinter that's in his finger or whatever it is, and it's like,
Yeah, because you have to do the, you know, the big action star cauterizes his own wound.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there with like a splinter with just the tiniest little bit of blood, takes out a needle and heats it up with a match. And then holds it and then just lets out the most guttural Sylvester Stallone-esque.
It's like in Predators. Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
And then ties it off, you know, with a little field dressing.
And he takes.
So good.
And then at one point he takes out one of those motherfuckers with like, what was it? A rubber band, like a rubber band and a paper clip. Like, oh, shit. So he works his way through and he gets to Cheryl, and he thinks that he's rescued Cheryl, but then Lenny comes around the corner, and luckily there's not much of a standoff though, because then who comes in? Somebody we've forgotten about. Fly guy.
Looking much more dapper.
Much more dapper for the street, for the current streets that we're in. Right. But after he comes in, and we, you know, then we have a different standoff. Then Mr. Big comes in after him. And Jack, is this the scene you're talking about where Jack is like, you're Mr. Big?
You're Mr. Big?
I thought you'd be, and the guy's like, what? Too good to be in an exploitation film? To be an exploitation villain? Lots of famous people have done exploitation movies.
Yeah, Shelley Winters was in Cleopatra Jones.
Right.
And they start rattling off all these like blaxploitation films or exploitation films even that kind of a higher caliber actor had been in, and because they would do that a lot back in the day. They would get like one actor that's like, you should not be in this movie. And they would typically like film all their scenes in like a day.
Okay.
In some cases, they wouldn't even be in the same room when they were filming. They would just have a camera on that actor. They'd be filming. And so you'd never see the two actors in the same frame.
Okay.
And if the villain met their end, it was usually like a wide shot, hit by a car or whatever, and you never actually see them.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So we have that. They start naming them off. Before anybody can shoot, here comes in Slade, who is black and charred and smoking.
Yeah. His jacket's all shredded up.
It's like a cartoon.
Uh-huh.
And he shoots Mr. Big, and he's like, I got you, sucker. He said it.
He said it. He said
the name of the movie. And the day is saved. So Jack and Cheryl kiss. They let Lenny go, and they tell him, you can go one of two ways.
Yeah, this is, fuck you.
So he takes the window, and who is it, Fly Guy, who says, did he not know about the elevator? Such a fitting conclusion.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. That made me howl. Luckily, we find out that Hammer and Slammer are going to be okay. And Mama gets out and is furious, but Slade calms her down because he's smooth, baby. And then Jack gets his theme music from KRS-One, motherfucker.
Yeah, Boogie Down Productions.
Yes. Jack of Spades. And that is the end of the movie.
100%. When I got my first car, I took the I'm Gonna Get You Sucka soundtrack, recorded it, Jack of Spades, onto a cassette, and that was the first song I played in my.
Of course you did.
Piece of shit car.
Because you're you, and I like how your brain works. Uh-huh. It's amazing.
I'm guessing you didn't stick around till the end credits.
Shit.
Yeah. There is one.
Fuck it. We'll tell about it. Tell me all about it.
Kung Fu Joe comes back.
Oh, shit. Damn it.
After everything has already been done.
Okay. Okay.
And he just comes crawling into frame, still all shot up and shit. And there's like one lone cop, and he's like, oh, dude, it's all over. He's like, oh, shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Damn it. I missed it. I'll go back. I should stick around. I should know now.
Right.
What a dumb fuck.
I'll start telling you from now on. I'm like, yeah, stick around for this. You're
like, this is like a Marvel.
Yeah. Well, I got to be 100% honest with you. I figured you would like this movie.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know you were going to love it this much.
Dude.
I thought it would be one of those, like, it's cute but dumb kind of Lily reactions.
It got all over me. It obviously got all over me.
Yeah, it did. All up in your business.
Yes. All up in my gold grill.
So funniest movie ever? Funniest movie
Not
of all time?
Funniest movie ever, yeah. But no, fantastically done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give it a rating.
I will give it a 4.
All right.
Yeah.
I
enjoyed it.
Solid 4.5 for me.
Nice.
Any movie with my name in it.
Of course, that's going to bump you up an extra star.
That automatically gets you up a little bit. although I have not yet watched the Stephen Amell wrestling show with Jack Spade in it.
Mm.
I don't know about that one yet.
What about anything with the other two Jack Spades?
No. Neither gay nor straight.
Gay nor straight?
No.
Come on.
I have not watched either. That might be a bit too weird for
me.
Might
be too much.
Yeah. I am super happy that you are just like over the moon for this flick.
Love it. I loved it completely. I see why you hold it so dear. It was really good. Yeah.
God damn, do I love this movie. There's another Wayans Brothers parody flick called Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
I've actually heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about it.
It parodies all the movies that came in the 90s, like the Boys in the Hood, the Dead Presidents, like all those kind of movies. Really good as well. There are some parallels between that and I'm Gonna Get You Sucka. I think I'm Gonna Get You Sucka is the better movie.
Okay.
Also, just because I liked the blaxploitation movies of the 70s more than I liked, you know, like the gang life movies of the 90s.
Okay.
So I thought it worked out better. Keenan Ivory Wayans has a recurring cameo in Don't Be a Menace, which is fucking hilarious.
All right.
And there's also a great line that made me think of I'm Gonna Get You Sucka. It's in Don't Be a Menace, but it's the scene with Kalinga and his brood of whites. There's a character in Don't Be a Menace. He's like the, you know, very much like a Kalinga character. Mm-hmm. And he only hooks up with just these just weird looking geeky white women.
Okay.
And they like one of the characters calls him out on. He's like, I'm just trying to do to the white woman what the white man's been trying to do to us forever. Fuck them. And I always think about that line whenever Kalinga shows up in I'm Gonna Get You Sucka.
Fuck him. That's fantastic.
Kill another piece of poll white trash. Shot him in the head. The end. Oh,
God,
shit.
This was great. Good pick, Jack Spade. Good pick.
So happy that you loved it. I have a something I would like to propose for next week's movie.
Propose it.
So we introduced you to John Shaft.
Okay.
We introduced you to the world of the blaxploitation film. Mm-hmm. Now, what a good co-host would have done for you is show you more of those types of movies before I gave you I'm Gonna Get You Sucka.
Okay.
But, you know, it's us.
It's okay.
And it's you. And this is how we do things. Right. Leanne Foster, who famously started watching the Marvel movies at Captain America Civil War. Yeah. 15 movies in. Let's keep the education rolling. Let's hit you up with another blaxploitation flick. This time we're going to take away the comedy.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the 70s. We're going to show you another blaxploitation flick. So you'll probably be able to pick out a lot more references that you have now seen parodied in I'm Gonna Get You Sucka. And I also want to give you a bit of a bad bitch. I know you like your bad bitch characters.
I'll take a bad bitch any day.
How do you feel about Pam Grier in Coffee?
A name I have heard a lot. Pam Grier,
mm-hmm.
Don't know anything. I've never seen her in anything that I'm aware of.
All right.
So I'm all for it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Pam Grier's a bad bitch.
She's a bad bitch.
Okay. Yeah. I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. We'll keep the blaxploitation films going next week with Coffee.
Coffee.
C-O-F-F-Y. Not like the beverage.
Not C-O-F-F-E-E.
No.
C-O-F-F-Y.
Yes.
Exotic.
Her name, yeah, right? Her name is Coffee.
Okay.
And we will watch that next week. So be prepared for that. In the meantime, give us a like, a follow, a subscribe. Bump up those numbers on Apple iTunes. We want to be 152 next week.
We really, really. I mean, that's our goal is 152.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, your neighbors. If you haven't talked to some friends in a while and you're like, you know what? We used to watch movies all the time back together in the day. We would talk about these movies. I'm going to be like, you know what, man? I know we ain't talked in a while. I got this great podcast you should listen to. So, I mean, essentially, you're still not going to be talking.
Right.
But just introduce them to us.
You could do it as the premise of we're going to get you back together with your friend.
Right.
We're going to be your connection.
Yeah. Hit them up.
We're not. But
let them know. Right. Yeah. Just be like, I think these guys are really funny. You should listen to them. Now, don't try to sell me no way products.
Now, fuck off. And, yep.
Hey, man, I know I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm not trying to sell you anything except for this free podcast. These two guys are really funny.
But have you tried this coffee that helps you lose weight?
Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hit us up on that motherfucking TikTok.
At HSV Home Video.
And, of course, our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, Underboss_photography. How baller of a photo shoot do you think Michael could put together if I had a suit like Fly Guy?
Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He would... Oh, my God. He would capture you in the most perfect light.
Right?
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. We got to make this happen. We got to find yellow material stat.
Yeah.
I need aquariums. I need to figure out how to put glass together.
I need a big hat. I'm going to put a big hat. I bet you can get that on Amazon.
Maybe that's his dinner. Why murdered me so hard? Oh, shit. God, that would be amazing.
Right?
Where would you do your photo shoot?
Probably Big Spring Park.
Can you see you on that bridge?
Yeah.
On that fucking, oh man, just like feeding ducks and shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or just call up like KRS-One, get Boogie Down Productions down here.
Yeah, just call him.
Like,
no big deal, just
hit
call
me
him.
Up at Big Spring Park playing Jack of Spades behind me as I'm just walking.
Be like, hey, we are number 153 on movie reviews and we would love to have your celebrity.
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
Do you have, I don't see 152 other podcasts banging down your door, KRS-One.
No.
No one with my name.
Uh-uh.
She is the Jack of Spades.
Yeah! Fan-fucking-tastic.
Thanks again for listening, y'all. We do appreciate it. We sincerely appreciate you guys getting us to 153.
That's amazing. That's more phenomenal. I mean, we're just two idiots talking about movies that we like. And, well, most of the time I like them. And we're just having fun. So we appreciate that you guys are listening and laughing along with us. And we've gotten to 153.
Yeah.
That's
in,
amazing.
In a little over a year. That's that's kind of wild to us. Top 10 in our lifetimes, maybe, possibly.
I don't know.
I don't really see us as top 10 players.
Nah, I don't see us as that at all.
No, okay.
Honestly, I didn't see us as 153s.
Mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger.
True.
Well, we will see you next week. Maybe sitting atop, maybe sitting even in the 140s. We'll see.
Ooh,
we'll see next
shit.
Week when we come back to chat about coffee. Until then, my friends, be kind and rewind. Until another piece of Paul White trash shot him in the head. The end.
Woo! Down with Whitey!